Well, good morning. Welcome to a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Doug and Nita's granddaughter, Kennedy, offered me her pacifier this morning. So I don't know what that means. There may be a sign in that. But asking about Cody, and he is very stable, and we've sure been praying for him as he's dealing with stem cell work and also chemotherapy. So continue to hold him in your prayers if you would. This morning we have Sherry Karsten representing the Executive Council, and Sherry has a few things to share with us.
Last time I promised. I'm pretending to be Dan Jasinek this morning, so listen carefully. We have a special voters meeting on December 29th. Please don't forget, this is to approve the application.
Push the button. That would help. We have a special voters meeting on December 29th at 12:30 here in the sanctuary. This is to approve the application to do the construction in the second floor of the school. This is to bring it up to code so that we don't, we're not out of code. So please remember, put that on your calendar. Sorry it's such a short notice, but we need to get the application in so we can get the construction started. We've already had contractors in, and they've been doing bids for us. So it's underway quickly. Yes, Vicki.
Isn't it 12:30 or between services?
I'm sorry. It's between services. I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you. Dan's been talking to you about starting LCEF accounts. We don't know how many we still need to do. Hopefully we'll find that out this week. But if we have 30 LCEF accounts started, in addition to the ones that are already there, it gives us a break on the closing on the loan. So if you don't have an LCEF account, or if you have family members who don't, please look into that. And we'll have applications and paperwork in the office this morning. Connie will have that. And also, one last thing, the staff gift envelopes. We'll be collecting these through the end of the month. These are staff gifts, Christmas gifts for the pastoral staff. The teachers have already received their gifts, and as of Friday, they were gleefully hopping out the door after a very nice lunch. So thank you again for all your help and your donations.
Well, thank you, Sherry. And on the LCEF accounts, you can start one for a grandchild. And I mean, it's like $25 is all they require. So the benefit that comes back in our current situation is huge for $25. So pray about that, and you'll probably hear more about that if the need is there. Page 11 in your bulletins, a nice page just to kind of cut out of the bulletin, post on the refrigerator, or even better yet, hand it to a friend or neighbor, but gives you the details of our services and times that are coming up for this week and into next week. So please get that word out to others. And then the last but not least, if you go out the sanctuary doors and turn right towards the Narthex Lounge, the tables are set up with all the offering envelopes. So please do not leave today before grabbing your envelopes. That'll make Joyce really happy. And we thank Joyce Einspar Bertus for organizing that for us. And the other reminder is, if you pick them up today, don't start using those envelopes until after the first of the year. There's even a notation, I believe, this year on the box or the envelope, so because the numbers can change and that can get really confusing. So please, don't use the new envelopes until the new year. Well, we come here on this fourth Sunday in Advent to worship God as we continue to prepare our hearts for the celebration of our Lord's birth, and as we look forward with anticipation to when our Lord is going to return again. And we follow the special order of worship as it is presented on the screen. We begin with the opening hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And we gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Christ Jesus was descended from David according to the flesh. In today's reading from Isaiah, when God was about to send the king of Assyria to destroy Judah, King Ahaz didn't want to hear about it, though the nation deserved destruction. Help us to consider the physical or spiritual consequences of our actions, not taking God's grace and forgiveness for granted. As Paul begins his letter to Rome, he writes that he is called to be an apostle among all the nations, including you. Help us to make talking about God's grace in our lives with people different from ourselves a priority. We are by nature sinful and have sinned in our words, in our thoughts, and in our actions. Have mercy on us, Jesus. God's plan of salvation has been unwavering since creation. The prophecies were kept. The Savior entered human history to pay for all sins. And everyone who believes has been given clean hands and a pure heart purely by the grace of God for Jesus' sake. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, grant us Jesse's tree, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
O Lord, hear David, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Paul wrote, "We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations."
Thank you.
earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And let us pray. O wisdom proceeding from the mouth of the Most High, pervading and permeating all creation, mightily ordering all things, come and teach us the way of that the sins which weigh us down may quickly be lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated now as we'll continue with our scripture readings today. And Mr. Brian Anderson will be sharing those with us.
The Old Testament reading on this fourth Sunday in Advent comes to us from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and we begin at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you have dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is found in the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I want to invite the congregation to stand now as we honor our holy gospel for today. And we speak the words of the verse. Alleluia. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son.
And they shall be called his name Emmanuel. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel for this fourth Sunday in Advent is the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The birth of Jesus Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man
and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from
God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look at that. You know, that's something that we hear people say quite often today in light of our communication system and in the way that things go in life as we live in this culture of this time. It's amazing how intimately we are connected and instantly connected with the entire world in terms of communication. And certainly there are many things that go viral. One that I've followed really closely, of course, being the aviation guy I am, is the Boeing 737 MAX. And after two consecutive crashes of this really new airplane, within a few months of each other, that news went viral. And you probably found it on your news feeds. It was on TV news. It was all over the place. And what's interesting about that is investigators, it takes at least 2 years generally, because there's so many dynamics that happen in a plane crash today, that it takes 2 years to figure it all out. And yet after the second crash of one of these aircraft, it went viral almost immediately. Boeing is criminal. They've built a plane that is worthless, and on and on and on. And the results of what even caused the crash were not even known yet. And so the sense of communication that we have, and look at that mentality, immediately people drawn to things as though they are absolutely true, has caused a lot of hurt and pain. It can destroy people's, individuals' reputation. If somebody just says one phrase that they may be fairly well publicly known, and it's one phrase that they maybe didn't mean to say it the way they said it, it can go viral and their reputation can be totally destroyed within minutes around the world, literally. It's the times in which you and I live. And it can happen the same with corporations as well. And while there's a huge negative consequence in the midst of all of this, have you ever considered how we Christians can use this in a very positive way? Where we can be looking to the world, to the culture in which we live in, and we can be excited, and we can be passionate, and we can be saying, look at that. It's an incredible blessing the Lord has given to you and me to witness. And what is it that we can draw the world's attention to? Well, in all of the readings today, it just brings several facets of our Lord's life and the reality of his character together. But in Romans, we find a number of things that Paul emphasizes in this reading. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel, the good news, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection. Do you hear some pretty big events here that we could be drawing the world's attention to and saying, look at that. Who, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, called to be saints, grace to you and peace. There's a lot of exciting things and life-giving and sustaining things in these few words that you and I are blessed to hear this morning. Well, last night, speaking of dreams, and on, by the way, on the cover of the bulletin, that's a rendition of the gospel reading of Matthew, or Joseph receiving the message from the angel in a dream. Last night, I had a dream, and it was one of the most vivid dreams I have ever had, and it went like this. I came to church, and when I get here, it's still dark, get here pretty early. And as I'm approaching the parking lot, it's packed with cars. The parking lot is full of cars. And then when I'm going to go turn in, I can't because there's barricades across the entrance to the parking lot. So I can't get in. And there's people all over the place walking around. I'm wondering, what in the world is going on? And this even becomes a more fascinating dream because Chris Boxham is here today with his family, all the way from Minnesota. I didn't know Chris was going to be here today, but guess who the first person is I meet in the parking lot? It's Chris. And Chris is navigating me through this crowd, and it's a rebellious crowd. They're very upset with this congregation. And so Chris is navigating me through the crowd, and then there's this guy by the name of John Kruger, who's one of our elders, and Chris takes me to John, and I ask, John, what's going on? And he says, these people are really unhappy with who we are. They're really unhappy with who we are. It was very intense. And the problem was, is that this crowd was totally misled about what Trinity teaches and preaches in this place. And so the revelation to me in the dream really was, and it ties right in with the scripture, is that there's a lot of manipulation in our culture today about Christianity, about the gospel. And it's a very deceptive manipulation. Satan is the energy behind it. And he is creating this mentality that we as Christians are very divisive, we're very hateful, we're very unaccepting, we're very narrow-minded. And vividly in this dream, these were the things that I was being confronted with in the crowd. It was an incredible dream. But you know, it was a great blessing because my old German temper didn't come out. Instead, I just listened to what they were saying. And then once I understood their perception, I was able to say, well, look at that. Look at that. They're quilters. There were even ladies interested in quilting in the crowd. And I pointed them over to the school and I said, well, look at that. You ought to know what's going on among the quilters over there. It's really exciting ministry here at Trinity Lutheran Church. And it was such an honor to be able to be in this crowd and to share the gospel, to point them to the truth in the midst of the manipulation and the deception that was their perception of what the gospel is all about. Well, you know, when I think about that and the people that I talked to in the crowd, and none of them I knew, that's probably a good thing. But did you notice in the Old Testament reading and in the Gospel reading, we have two individuals, one is Ahaz and the other is Joseph. And we see two totally different hearts and mindsets in these two individuals. With Ahaz, a powerful king, and Ahaz is being threatened by an alliance of nations to the north. And so he's already thinking, he's already got a plan in place. He's going to align with another powerful nation in order to stand up to them, which is exactly what God does not will for Ahaz to do. And so God, through the prophet Ahaz, or through the prophet Isaiah, approaches Ahaz with offering a sign. And here's what Ahaz's response is. And this is so sanctimonious. I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Well, under his skin, Ahaz is saying, God, I don't care what you have planned. I already have my plan in place, and I'm going to do it. And God knew the hardness of Ahaz's heart. But despite that, God does incredible work. It's kind of like the parables. He gives a prophecy, a sign to Ahaz that applies long into the future. And it's really interesting, verse 14 of this reading from Isaiah 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Think about that. How many virgins become pregnant with children? It's physically impossible, right? And yet, in this prophecy, God is saying to Ahaz and to all who are blessed to hear it, including you and me here this morning, that this is going to happen. Look at that, God says. Look at what's coming in the future. And this one born of a virgin, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is going to put on human flesh. God is going to become true man. God is coming in the flesh. That is the prophecy 700 years before it transpires. But Ahaz wanted nothing to do with anything at the point that God said. But it had changed God's promise. And there's the key. No. God is steadfast in what he promises despite the rebellion of man. But then we see a whole different heart with Joseph, don't we? So here's Joseph, betrothed to Mary. And in the betrothal, it's like an engagement, and they're not having intimate relationships at that time. And yet, in that time of betrothal, Mary becomes pregnant. And Joseph, right away, and it would be only natural for him to assume this, that Mary had an affair with someone else and became impregnated by them. And so Joseph, seeing the honorable person he is, he's going to try to put her away quietly. And then God comes to Joseph in a dream through an angel. And it's whether it's through a prophet like Ahaz or a dream or a vision with Joseph, doesn't matter. God is the one directing this. God chooses how he comes to each of us with his precious message and word. And so he informs Joseph of what is going on. And so we hear, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now think about Joseph. First of all, it would be going totally against the law of the day, right? Because now it would look like, well, Joseph had relations with the one he's betrothed to. And that puts Joseph in a very difficult and embarrassing situation as well. And it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, God, I really don't care what you say. I'm going to put this woman away and I'm just not going to deal with this anymore. But that's not Joseph. Joseph listens to God. And despite the ramifications it's going to bring to his life, he trusts what God is doing and he goes through with the plan that God has graciously included him to be a part of. And so we hear when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. There's the obedience we hear Paul speak of in the epistle reading. As a child of God, Joseph was obedient, and also he called the child the name God told him to name the child, Jesus, which means Savior. Look at that, says the angel, as the angel points the reality to Joseph. Well, here we are this morning, and I'd like us to consider our own hearts. And I'd like you to seriously, and we're just going to pause for a moment in the busyness of life today. I want us just to ponder for a moment this past week and just different situations that you've been involved in this past week, just this past week. And I want you to honestly consider, as I do in my life, was I more like Ahaz towards God or more like Joseph? I just want you to take a moment, as I do, to think about that. Look at that. Look at that. Did you have an opportunity to share that with someone this past week? Did you have an opportunity to share with somebody? Look at that. And by that, meaning the wonderful revelations just in these three texts that we have before us here this morning. And first of all, the virgin birth. I mean, look at that. It's never happened before. It will never happen again. It's physically impossible by human standards. But God intervened, didn't he? Jesus wasn't conceived by man, but by the Holy Spirit. And that, dear friends, is a hinge point of everything you and I believe. It's really sad when there's major Christian church bodies that debate the virgin birth. If you take that away, you can throw salvation out the window. Why? Because it broke the chain of original sin. That original sin from the time of our first parents, handed down from generation to generation to generation, and Jesus comes, he's not conceived by man, he doesn't inherit original sin. He truly is born a perfect child, and he never once sinned. He is Emmanuel. Look at that. God puts on our human flesh. Why? To take our flesh to the cross and die in our place as our substitute. Look at that. Just look at that scene. And that isn't just a nice artistic rendition. That's the gospel right there. The gospel that you and I are blessed to know. And as Paul says, the gospel that sets us apart from the rest of the world. Look at that as God has revealed it to us. Look at the reality of the resurrection, that Jesus truly did conquer death. He went through that mystery. He conquered it. He lives, and we live in the security of everlasting life. There's something we can point people to. Look at that. It's incredible what God has done. And then to hear that God wills that everybody would be part of this, that everybody would receive the blessings of this. Look at that from what God reveals to you and me. We are called to belong to Him. We are called to be His saints. We are blessed to receive His grace. And we are blessed to live in peace. That we have peace with God. There is absolutely no barrier that stands between us and God by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all been crumbled. We have access directly to God. Look at that. Are these things that ought to go viral around the world? Absolutely. In a very good and positive and life-giving and sustaining way. But you and I have the responsibility to make it viral. And we begin right where we are. How would have you reacted if you came to church this morning and the parking lot was barred and you couldn't get in? It'd be kind of a strange feeling, wouldn't it? And I was really pondering that as I lay awake last night, that isn't it a blessing it isn't barred? That it's open to the world? And we desire that the world would come? And yes, there may be those who come and they're way out in left field somewhere and they think we're nuts for what we believe. That's okay. Because we can just say, look at that. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has come and whose birth we will and do celebrate every day, and as we look for Him to come back again, I guarantee you on that day, everybody's going to say, look at that! Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, be with us. And may we, Lord, be faithful servants to you. And may we be your messengers with passion and excitement, and especially for the sake of the lost. In your name we pray and trust, as we rejoice that your peace is upon us. Amen. Well, I would invite the congregation to stand, and a beautiful outline of pointing out, look at that, is the Nicene Creed as we confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And you may be seated.
People that I think I identify most with is Joseph, because one of the things that I've always wondered, and I'm sure he did as well, is why he was picked to be the man to raise Jesus. Why am I picked to be a Christian? Why am I chosen by him to be given his grace? Just an ordinary girl.
second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been. Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Jesus knew the reason love had to reach this far, and as Joseph held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? Just a simple man of trade. Why him and all the rulers in the world? Why here inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. Second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way, oh, such a strange way. Yes, it's such a strange way to save the world.
To stand for prayer. And this morning in our prayer petitions, each response is part of a hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And so we sing the responses. And let us pray. As the time of Advent comes to an end, let us go to our Heavenly Father on behalf of the church around the world and all people in their various needs. Call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. For people who have not heard a word of forgiveness from their society or circle of friends, that God would use the church to bring them news of God's mercy and grace, available from his Son, born in a stable, killed on a cross, and risen from the grave. Let us pray to the Lord. Come thou long expected Jesus,
born to set thy people free.
Paul's apostleship was to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of Christ's name among all the nations, for our communities and country, and for all the nations of the world, that God would put into positions of authority and influence capable and faithful people who would work for order at home and peace with neighboring states. Let us pray to the Lord. From our fears and sins release us,
let us.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. For those who tend God's earth, those who distribute and sell the fruits of the harvest, and those who manage wildlife preserves and wilderness expanses, that they be successful in their oversight of creation and give praise to the Creator. Let us pray to the Lord.
Consolation.
For people who are weighed down by illness, strife, or oppression, our friends and neighbors who seek the face of the God of Jacob, that God would bring healing, peace of body and mind, and freedom from discrimination. And we pause for a moment to hold up those that we know going through these kinds of scenarios in life. And Lord, we give thanks for Edris Helt, who can be back in worship with us after knee replacement surgery. And Lord, we hold up to you Madeline, knowing to Darlene Douth, that Madeline, a young 13-year-old girl who had to have both of her thigh bones broken in surgery for corrective surgery that happened this past week. And we pray for her recovery from this. Cody Schmidt, as Cody receives his own stem cells and goes through that process along with chemotherapy, only at 3 years old. Lord, so many others, you know them all. Let us pray to the Lord. Dear desire of for the forgotten in prison and unseen among us, all whose treatment by society has given them cause to stop waiting for answers to prayer, that God would surround them with caring, devout family and friends so that they in patient joy look forward as the farmer waits for the gracious fruit of the earth. Let us pray to the Lord. Joseph was just a man, unwilling to put Mary to shame. For those who have succumbed to the criticisms of their circle of acquaintances, the fallen morality of their society, and the consequences of their own mistakes, that God would open their eyes to the forgiveness he offers through Christ so that they lift up their heads to the gates through which our Savior walks. Let us pray to the Lord. For the church around the world, wherever it experiences active persecution or increasing indifferences, that God would strengthen, guide, and protect laity and clergy alike, that it receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. These and any other things, and certainly today we rejoice with Linda and Gary Clipp as they provide the flowers for us in celebration of their anniversary and of many birthdays in their family, along with many other things that we personally bring, Lord, that these and any other things you would have asked of you, Heavenly Father, grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May be seated, and we continue with the offering. Thank you. And we stand. Precious ransom, come. And the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy Lord, a power and a might, heaven and earth are O blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as often as we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood in this sacrament, you remind us of your having done everything needed for us in the past and your promise to return for us on the last day. Hear us as we pray in your name and as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. closing, we also want to remember Dean Rodell in our prayers, as Dean went out on an errand here last week and kind of lost, got confused, ended up in Denver. And it's just kind of a scary day for Dean and the whole family, and we just pray for him. Oh, dear Lord God, you know Dean, and you know what's going on in his body and his mind right now. Lord, we thank you for protecting him through this very confusing day. And be with his wife, Joanne, and this family as they go forward now, understanding some of the ramifications of what may be going on in Dean's mind at this time. Lord, we just pray your blessings of peace and protection for Dean and his family. O Lord, we give you thanks, Almighty God, that in our baptism you adopted us as your sons and daughters, and now in this sacrament we pray that you would strengthen us to follow our Savior as heaven's gates rise, to let us be with you forever. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The blessings of God Almighty, the Father who created us, the Son who saved us and shall return to welcome us home, and the Holy Spirit who creates and nourishes the faith that Jesus is Lord, be with you forever. Amen.
And serve the Lord.